It is a bit overawing to be in the organisation that you're representing for 2.5 whole days to give a talk on the Northern Development Task Force, so bear with me. But this is a wonderful opportunity for myself to be, as DG of Department of Industry and Resources, in such an unprecedented period of growth that has been fuelled very much by the industry and resources sector. So what better place to be? But our challenge is to ensure that this growth is sustained and delivers sustained economic and social benefits to WA whilst achieving the highest standards of environmental care. I have a lot to learn about industry and resources sector, the department and the Northern Development Task Force, but I will share with you today how I see the Northern Development Task Force leading the coordination of economic development issues, Indigenous issues, wilderness issues, tourism, environmental and heritage issues in the Kimberley, in selecting a site for a potential LNG hub for processing Browse Basin gas. Right. As the title of this has suggested, it is all a question of balance, like most things in life. I believe it's important that we do have a resources development process that operates within a very clear framework which recognises the importance of social, economic, environmental, Indigenous, regional and social and cultural factors. The way in which resources development issues are being managed in the Kimberley represents something of a policy frontier. Development is being managed through a strategic or holistic framework under the auspices of the Northern Development Task Force. I think this is a very positive step forward. In terms of the Browse Basin and the Kimberleys, I'm not going to go into any more further detail because I think it goes without questioning the unique value of the region in terms of cultural heritage and its outstanding environmental values. It's also obvious that it's very plentiful in resources and is close to markets for many of those resources. Really, this sector of the West Australian landmass has become a focus because of those factors, and that's why we do take this issue very seriously. But I think we have to recognise that the Browse Basin gas is an extremely significant gas field, but its development will clearly help meet the energy needs, not of Western Australia, but also of our major trading partners over the next 50 years in a very greenhouse-friendly manner. And as it's been already described today, Browse Basin has the potential to rival the North West Shelf gas in terms of its actual resource base and intensity. And further developments, are very likely into the future in striking distance from the Kimberley shores. So the government is committed to ensuring that any Browse Basin gas that is produced happens in a secure and an environmentally friendly way, consistent with the highest standards of environmental and Indigenous heritage protection. But how are we going about this? Well, as has been mentioned, in June 2007, the Northern Development Task Force was established to set the framework through which Browse Basin gas can be developed. And I think this approach the government has taken is indicative of its desire to take a very strategic and holistic approach to the development of this environment. Look, in terms of the Northern Development Task Force, as I see it, its objectives are largely fourfold. Obviously, we need to find a potential location for a gas processing in the Kimberley by one or more operators. Informed consent of traditional owners is another key objective. Higher standards of environmental and heritage protection. And fourthly, one that probably hasn't been mentioned a lot today, is independent third-party access to infrastructure. This just can't be about the current proponents of development of the Browse Basin gas. This needs to be a decision that relates to independent third-party access into the future. I'll talk about these in a little bit more detail, these key objectives, as I go forward, but first of all, I'm just going to go through a little bit of how we're organised in the Northern Development Task Force and who we report to so that you can have some appreciation of that. I have no idea whether you can read that, but in terms of the overhead, what it's designed to show is there is a ministerial committee which oversees the Northern Development Task Force, and this committee is led by the Deputy Premier, and also includes Ministers for Environment, Indigenous Affairs and Heritage, Planning and Infrastructure and Energy. The membership of the task force itself includes the Director Generals of those agencies, ministers' agencies, as well as the heads of the Office of Native Title, Fisheries and Land Corps. As DG of the Department of Industry and Resources, I chair the task force, not something I've done yet though, and its secretary is located within my department as well. Many of you will know Duncan Ord and his team, who I believe have done an excellent job in the Kimberley and are to be congratulated on their job. Still a long way to go, but a good start. So this task force clearly operates at the highest level across government, and its composition reflects the seriousness of which this government takes this process. As I indicated, the government originally established the task force to identify potential gas locations, gas processing locations in the Kimberley, and to achieve the informed consent of traditional landowners with the highest environmental and heritage protection values. I keep saying these words because they are at the heart of what the Northern Development Task Force is about. But taking this strategic holistic framework a step further, the task force remit has recently been expanded to include strategic assessment jointly under a Commonwealth and state environmental legislation for the establishment of the processing hub. This is the first in cooperation between the state and the Commonwealth and is a major step forward in taking a holistic view of many of these issues that Greg referred to. And I'll come back to that in a little bit more detail later. It is the government's view that the Browse Basin gas can be processed in the Kimberley to the benefit of the whole community and providing that balance between economic, social and environmental impacts. But it's the task force role to actually make it happen. Our role is to facilitate the process where the Commonwealth, industry, community, the traditional owners of the Kimberley can actually come together and work on these issues and can jointly determine how such developments can take place. It is a question of balance. Our governing principle is to avoid ad hoc development in the Kimberley, thereby minimising the environmental impact and minimising the impact also on traditional owners. I think you'll all agree they're pretty reasonable objectives for an operating assumptions for the task force. Then we'll go back. For the first time in Australia, the government has said there will be no development on traditional land without the consent of traditional landowners, something that has been mentioned earlier today. But this is the first time that's ever been said, and I don't think we can underestimate the importance of that. Government has facilitated a process where the traditional owners across the vast Kimberley has a voice which carries as much weight as the industrial proponents who seek to develop gas in the Browse Basin fields. I think that is, again, another significant point. It is about the balance and it is about ability to negotiate and discuss issues on a level playing field. Our framework also allows for the establishment of a package of shared benefits to be negotiated from this outcome, so it is a benefit to the broader Kimberley community rather than just perhaps the small native title holders of where the final processing site is chosen. So it is about sharing the benefits as well, and I think that's a very important part of this, and it's something that it's also about balance and it's about engaging with these people, all the people involved in this environment. As I've mentioned, it is about the engagement factor, and the process facilitates this, and you'll see on that the bottom of that diagram our working groups. We've got a range of working groups, an Indigenous working group, environmental groups with some subsets out of that, the industry reference group, the tourism working group, community reference group and the fisheries working group. As you can see, there's a lot of people coming together to make this happen, and I think that they are to be congratulated for the goodwill that has been generated. There's a lot of work's been put into this, and if we don't have that goodwill, we can't move forward. And today, I think we're very fortunate that we have had that degree of cooperation. So since last year, the task force has been working very closely with these groups in the Kimberley and holding many public meetings to hear about communities' issues and concerns firsthand. And I think you have to say that the working groups themselves have made the most invaluable contribution to the site selection process, as well as developing the criteria against which the potential locations will actually be assessed. And Wayne Bergman's work in the Kimberley Land Council need to go thanked. I mean, because Wayne's done a wonderful job in bringing the traditional owners together so that they can participate in the decisions which will help shape their future. And he's done a great job, and well done, Wayne. The notion of no development without the informed consent of traditional owners is a genuine milestone in the history of Australia's economic development. So I think we've made some, the processes have been great. How are we actually going against our timelines? The Northern Development Task Force released its report last Friday, and it describes progress so far, obviously, and it's available on the DUA website, and I'll give a slide for that at the end. Nine locations have been shortlisted through an initial 40 that were up for consideration, and they've just basically gone through a first run of on technical issues. And these sites are Gordon Bay, Kwangdong Point, James Price Point, North Head, Perpendicular Head, Packer Island, Coolin Island, Wilson Point, and the Marrot Islands. And additionally, we've added two further ones to this list at the KLC's request. They are Cape Voltaire and the Anjou Peninsula in the north of the Kimberley. Now, that's even worse to read than I anticipated. But as you can see, there's a range of locations that are being assessed along from basically just south of Broome right through to the north of Western Australia. These nine locations meet the basic technical criteria, and they'll now undergo further technical and, importantly, assessment in regard to Indigenous heritage issues and cultural values and environmental issues. And these locations are also being given intense scrutiny by the Kimberley Land Council and through the Traditional Owners Task Force, and they will be evaluating them for their potential suitability. In terms of timelines, as it has been mentioned, but are we adhering to the timelines, I think I'd like to just briefly lay out some of the important dates that have come up over the next couple of months, the next couple of months being a very intensive period of effort. We've got a workshop coming up at the end of July, which all the working groups will get together and go through the identified sites through a whole set of selection criteria that the working groups have already been working on. And it's been a great process. By late August, we'd expect a further shortlisting down to a few potential sites. And by the end of September, it is anticipated that the traditional owners will provide some sort of conditional informed consent to focus on one or two sites. So by end of October, we have to idealistically be at the end of a process where the Commonwealth and state can jointly come together with a principal preferred site. So as you can see, it's a very concentrated process, and again, we appreciate all the good work that has been put in by all the participants in this process, and I look forward to getting to know you better over the next few months. I mentioned earlier that the Commonwealth and state, in terms of taking a holistic and a strategic approach, have actually come together very well on this project and have signed an agreement under the Environmental Protection and Biodiversity Conservation Act to undertake a two-part strategic assessment to identify a preferred hub site, as well as undertake a broader assessment of the natural heritage issues and values of the West Kimberley. So essentially the first part of the process is to put the magnifying glass on one or two identified potential sites that we'll identify by the end of September. And the second part will more look at the cultural and environmental values more broadly across the Kimberley to assess national and international heritage values. And that area extends south from Broome to Cape Londonderry on the Timor Sea. And it's hoped that we'll be able to gain a more detailed picture of the region's environmental assessment assets, and that will therefore provide more information to this entire process. I think we ought to step back and see this process is unique as a policy process in government. It's about bringing everybody together. It is about taking a strategic approach, but importantly, it's about giving everyone the opportunity to input, and I think that's what government should be doing. And I'd like to see the Department of Industry and Resources playing a lead role in these strategic assessments and the rest of the work of the task force to ensure that we do come out with some good outcomes. And I could also say that I'm very reassured that the Commonwealth and state are very much committed to a strategic approach to ensure that we do have an outcome that produces significant environmental and Indigenous benefits to the region. This is the area where the actual broad-based strategic assessment will go. And as you can see, it does include a broad range of sites, as Greg suggested, would be very useful, and it's part of the whole package of consideration and understanding. Finally, I think we truly are on the brink of a new phase of economic development in this country, and I'm confident that we can help through the Northern Development Task Force in creating the right framework for community participation, shared benefits and certainty for industry. And it is all about a strategic framework where we do balance economic, social and environmental interests, we do get strong stakeholder engagement, we do get what the policy people might call is joined up government. We do have open and transparent processes, and we do make our decisions on the basis of quality data and evidence. Good process, that's a good process and a good strategic framework for a lot of things, and I hope to be able to bring that framework and that thinking to many of the issues that DUR, or Department of Industry and Resources, will deal with over the forthcoming years. So I hope to be able to be standing here, not too distant future, saying we have been able to deliver on some great community participation, we have managed to develop a shared benefits package, we have got some great environmental protection strategies and arrangements in place, and we have been able to provide some certainty for industry. They are all important as we go forward. After all, it is a question of balance.